First, I want to read you a very quick update from a lady called Jane Shaw. She was actually part of our team, but she collates all the information that's going on in North and South Sudan, and then she sends it to a group of us, which is absolutely fantastic. And I just want to read you a tiny bit of it. That's lovely. Thanks, Tim. Headline prayer. Pray for displaced and homeless people and those without food or clean water. It is becoming impossible for aid agencies to reach some of the most troubled areas in South Sudan. And aid workers have, in some cases, had to be withdrawn. And I must say, killed. Meridi, please continue to pray for Bishop-elect Moses, that's going to be the new Bishop of Meridi, and for the health of mission partner Lynn Trierney. Pray for the families of those with nodding syndrome. Pray for the provision of funds to renovate the Dean's House and to weatherproof the cathedral. Then a little bit about All Saints Cathedral, Juba, which is somewhere I have been on a couple of occasions. It says to pray for the Dean and for the new Archbishop, Justin, as they have discovered the theft of $1,000 and 700,000 South Sudanese pounds intended for the renovation of the cathedral. They are very much in my prayers at this time. There's no way they can afford that kind of a loss. Can I have the next slide, please, Tim? Just some fun ones of team. So that's up there with me and Ron. The funny face is because Ron has told yet another joke. Opposite that, there is a picture of Wycliffe, Ron, myself, Creddy and Jane are in the back. I know I'm sleeping. It's okay. We were on our way to Kampala to get our visas, which we managed to get in one day only. They take 3 days, by the way. And the team photo down by there, and our youngest member of the team, 21-year-old Davy, who I got in on with exceptionally well, and he was great. And he got to fly the MAF plane, so it's very, very exciting. Can I have the next one, please? Okay, thank you. While I was praying, I told God how I felt as it came time to go to Meridi, and he directed my thoughts. Little left inside of me, but everything left to give. God's gift to me, he and he alone would give me all that I needed. Now that's true for all of us. It's not about us. It's about him. So Soma, some of you know, some of you may not, but SOMA is Sharing of Ministries Abroad, and it works for the transformation of individuals and churches and the healing of communities and their lands through the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. This is through intercession and sending short-term mission teams across the Anglican Communion. So SOMA's call is to care for the nervous system of the body of Christ. We go to those who lead to work with them and be alongside them as they grow in their faith, and therefore successfully to lead their people. It's always at the invitation of the bishop, and together with them we devise a bespoke programme to meet the needs of that particular diocese or area. So this was a conference for youth leaders across Meridi area. Many had come quite a distance to be with us at the cathedral, and many had left family and children so they could take up this opportunity. And as I said at 8 o'clock, many had left family and children. We think, oh my goodness, that's fine. They've all been left with Auntie What's-It and the neighbour down the road. Well, no, actually, some of them hadn't been. Some had been left with probably the oldest child, and they were left to fend for themselves during this conference. It's not quite like it is out here, or back here. So we've got brilliant... No, that's fine. We've got the Archbishop, who is now Archbishop there. You can see him as he was when we were out. That's a picture taken in Meridi. And then at his enthronement. And also in the other picture, which you won't see very well, because we were a little careful about taking pictures of the state governor. The importance of the relationship between Archbishop Justin and the state governor, and the progress made towards peace because of it. It was amazing. The Archbishop had been working tirelessly with the state governor and is also developing a small trial farm to help develop sustainable farming for a people who until recently had to flee into the bush, meaning maintaining land was impossible. If you think about it, if there's war and you have to leave your land, and while that's happening, somebody's either stolen your croft, crops, they've let their cattle stampede across it, and you've lost it. So sustainable farming is something that they need a lot, but it's been very difficult to maintain at all. And in so many areas there, that is still the case. Hence why they can't grow a lot of their food. They've been working for change. All tribes in Maridi are living alongside each other. The marked difference in safety just across the state border meant there was no road travel out of the state for us, hence the MAF flight to get us there. The state governor, yes, he's army, and he's fought many battles, but he is making a difference in Maridi, and he knows the scriptures. Ron gave him a holding cross at our last meeting with him to take into his government meeting. So if you can think of him, we hope, with his holding cross tucked in his pocket, going to the meetings with President Kerr. I think that's quite amazing. So I can have the next slide. Thank you, Tim. It's the going and being there that's important. It's kingdom thinking that's important. I went because Jesus said, go. God charged us with this. Be alongside my people here. Share what you have and watch what I will do. Prayer both out there and the intercessory team back here and throughout the world are so vital to us, who are the few on team. Well, of course, you don't have to go to South Sudan to relate to that call to go, or the call to prayer. Only the brave. I had to use that. I know it's a Spring Harvest favourite, but I saw bravery every moment of my time there, hearing the stories as they unfolded, from seeing the deminers faithfully going out each day to make the area safe from landmines, to hearing of loss, injury, poverty, a lack of that which we consider the basics of day-to-day living, yet still faithfully serving the people of Maridi, and seeking to see the kingdom of God be taught in that place. Now to some of the trials: war, corruption, poverty, marriage for Christians, schooling challenges, need for sound Bible-based teaching, and Christian living for leaders. These can be trials and temptations. Christians are not persecuted just as they are in the north of the country, but the economic pressures and social or peer group pressure is very evident. Their cultural differences are exactly that. In fact, we might be tempted to look at areas of their lives and say, well, as a Christian, that should be different. But as always, we are called to act out of love. Have we looked and understood from their cultural perspective? I'll give you an example that touched all of us. We were at the women's workshop for marriage, which I was helping with, and one of the girls stood up and was brave enough, and she just said, there is no marriage in Maridi. So let me explain. Well, the girls there will often come out of their schools early. They're in a state of poverty, so they're looking to help the family. So they go and have a baby, hoping that the boy's family will take them in, and then they're less of a burden on their family. This is what happens. We might not like what happens. But the problem is the boy's family may choose to reject the girl and the baby that comes along, and therefore it's then the responsibility of the girl's family, and we're left back to square one, really. So many come out of school and have a baby instead. There's also a lot of polygamy. And one lady very bravely stood and said, my husband has left me after 19 years. He has another wife. He has left the area. My eldest son has gone. My second son will not help. And I am left with the children. She was one of the youth leaders. So was the lady who stood up and said there was no marriage. But they did want to be married. Being rooted in Christ is the answer, the hope that we cling to. Being well taught is part of that. Knowing the scriptures and what they teach us helps people move to a positive position without neglecting the cultural issues that press in. A question for you. What, I wonder, is our response to situations we come across here? Ones that take us out of maybe our cultural norm. They make us uncomfortable. They don't quite fit with maybe what we believe. What's our response to a desperate people here? Have we got the slide with Ron on it? Wonderful. Revisiting the pain. This is the team leader. This is Ron. Ron was out in 1998, and by this very dead-looking tree, which is interesting that it is, was where he was bombed, and there was a big crater there where he hid. And it was in 1998 on mission during the North-South War. But what about now? The pain now? All those people out there that I met have lost someone. For many, multiple family members during the recent fighting. So 2013, 14, 15. We read about, and we have read about, widows and orphans. Well, they were here, en masse. No one left untouched. They have lived their whole lives in war and poverty. Now, yes, a lot of them were young youth leaders. Some were not so young. And yet, they've lived their whole lives in war and poverty. Let me take you to Luke 24, verse 36, and I will paraphrase a bit. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his feet. Jesus suffered. So in the face of suffering, these people understand suffering, but they believe in the power of the resurrected Christ and the hope that it brings them. Jesus suffered and died so we may have life. Is that good news? Doesn't sound it. Is that good news?
Yes!
We went to spiritually feed these leaders and to see them go on to feed their people with all they have received. Can I have the next slide, Tim? Wonderful, thank you. We came to bring hope in amongst the devastation. We came to bring help so that they can bring hope to the young people in South Sudan. The Archbishop and the Stave Governor both said this: "What you have brought to us will not only be to those who have heard the message, but for Meridi and going out from Meridi into South Sudan." In amongst the destruction, surely what we see is new life. Small signs, like the young chicks I saw in the compound, in amongst the debris, searching out each and every crumb offered them, leaving nothing. These leaders we found eager to learn and were serious about their faith. Can I have the next one, please, Tim? And there you've got a picture of the listening prayer. This is them learning. It was a workshop I was doing. It was a session. And we were just teaching a way to pray for each other. So they were listening to God and receiving words for each other, which was amazing. And the next slide, please, Tim. Great. And so the children were there. They weren't meant to be there. They just turned up in each of their break times from school just to get a glimpse. Just to get a taste of what was happening. Wouldn't we love that if our children flocked into meetings just to do that? Question for you. I wonder how seriously we take our faith. Leave that with you. Thank you, Tim. I'll have the next one. Great. It's about spending time with people, sharing lives together, just being alongside, empathizing with the pain, sharing the joy too. It's about having fun and bringing joy in practical ways. When all you've known is war, division, and grief, spending time playing games brings relief, and I had the delight of leading those, but not the football match. We all watched while Davy joined in. I hate football. The only two football matches I've ever been to in South Sudan. Have you ever seen such joy? It's not just the games. This amazing people have in their cathedral a banner, like one of the ones we have. It was huge. It just said, "Joy." The joy of the Lord is their strength. To watch them dance and sing and play the drum, you see that joy, and it is an honour and a privilege to join in. They can teach us much in the face of adversity. Galatians 2, verse 10. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. Well, I've looked at this verse, eager not to take it out of context, but actually it means what it says. Don't exclude anyone. Go and see what you can offer to share practically and spiritually. These wonderful people are disciples of Christ, and learning how to be one is just as important to them as it is to us. They desire to grow in faith and to see their own people grow in faith and to be able to share the gospel message with others. Here we go, another question. How are we applying this verse in Swanage or wherever we live? I was looking through the commentaries and I've picked out this one. I think it's Matthew Henry. Herein, he has given us an excellent pattern of Christian charity and has taught us that we should by no means confine it to those who have just the same sentiments as us. Be ready to extend it to all whom we have reason to look upon as disciples of Christ. And Tim, if you could just give me the next slide. So fellowship, wonderful, wonderful fellowship together. That's me and Creddy. And the next one. And this is Jane, the Jane Shore I spoke about. She's spending some time with the Mothers Union because she came with a deanery hat on as well, which is like an area in the Church of England. So, how do we apply the go in our lives? Yeah, you can put the next one up, Tim. That's lovely. Some of the houses. And the next one. There you go. There's an aerial view as we were flying in. That is what housing looks like in rural South Sudan. And I think there's one more, Tim. Lovely. Could you leave that one up? That's great. So how do we apply the go to our lives? Well, under Andrew's leadership, we've been exploring discipleship for some time and what that means for us. At Spring Harvest, many of us heard about being brave in our Christian walk and just doing it. And back here, we heard testimonies from people. God is always for us. And because of his love for us, he speaks to us through scripture and also through others. Many of us here are familiar with that. So if we want to move forward and just do it, then at times we need to look personally at ourselves, our own lives, the areas where we minister, our own church, and sometimes the wider church. I want to share with you some pictures which God had me take recently and the words I believe he gave to me with them. These have already been given to Andrew and the leadership of the prayer and prophetic team for discernment, as of course it's scriptural to do. So Tim, have you got those words up there for me? It's in the next PowerPoint. Brilliant. Okay, so these are the words the Lord spoke to me after he'd got me to take this picture of a half-buried boat. And I'm just going to read them out, and then we're going to just take a moment to think. The boat. Being tethered. Not being able to set sail. Being weighed down. Burdened with heaviness. Maybe that speaks to you. The buried branch. Disconnected from the trunk. Partially buried. The appearance of lifelessness. Potential. The rock. Layers upon layers, gradually being smoothed and refined to create a solid rock. And the last one, the stream. Free-flowing, fresh, clarity. I bring those as an offering to you today. There are a lot of scriptures that go with that. I'm going to not read them all out because it would take too long and I need to hand back over to Andrew. But at the back, if you just turn and look at the big notice boards where my finger's pointing, all the words are up there. And the scriptures that the Lord gave me But that doesn't mean he won't speak to you with different scriptures and other relevant things for your lives. But if we are to go, then sorting ourselves out is really important. Where are we at? This might just help us to do more of the go and just do it. Thank you.
Just be quiet for a moment.